Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about the things you might want to avoid saying in your relationship. And I'm taking your calls. Topics include the seemingly small phrases that you shouldn't say to your partner and what you should say instead. And I promise you, you say some of these because I did too. Your partner wants to swing, but you're not really into it, like at all. What do you do about that? Okay, so you like trans men, but aren't so experienced on giving oral pleasure. And your partner likes your size, but you'd like them to experience something a little bit fuller. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. We have some killer blogs going up for your reading pleasure and your sexual pleasure. And you can also find me, so exciting, SiriusXM Radio 5 days a week on Stars Channel 109, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific. It's amazing. Get a free 3-month trial, sexwithemily.com/SXM, or just call us. 888-947-8277. Find us on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. It's a good time. You'll be learning. You'll be loving. You'll be getting some toys. And I love hearing from all of you there. Okay, guys, enjoy the show. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Oh, there are some common phrases that you are probably saying that could be damaging your relationship. And I've been guilty. I've said these. I've said these probably to friends. I've said these to people. But they don't work, you guys. Words can kill when they come to relationships. Little tiny small words, phrases. You know, a lot of you call in, you're like, oh, we keep having the same fights, or I swear I talked to her about it. I told her, or I told him what I needed, but it's not happening. It's not happening. So I think it would be really great for us to go through these, because just because you said you wanted more sex, if you were saying, for example, let's see, which one would be good? You never initiate sex. If you said you never initiate sex, number one, that makes me want to never initiate it.
Because right, like, I feel now blamed. I never will.
And also, when you say something like, you never, well, you always, first of all, it's not true. Like, I'm sure your partner maybe has once initiated. But besides that, it just, it triggers us because we feel criticized. We feel, you know, unappreciated. And it just elevates it. Like, whenever someone says, like, you know, you never make time for me, or you always put yourself first, you never compliment me, that's not an incentive for people to actually do it. And that also can, like, you know, gets people on the defensive right away. Language like that.
Yeah. What are some things that people have said to you that just make you, that drive you crazy?
Okay. So here we can go through some more of these. You never is one of them. Let me see what else. Oh, okay. Hold on. I wrote some of these. Oh, whatever.
Oh, God.
That's not even a thing. If someone goes, whatever, whatever. That is super triggering. It comes across as you don't care and you're not engaging in the conversation. What you could say is, like, I need some time to think. Let me think about this. If you feel that coming on, but whatever is automatically kind of douchey. The other thing, and just kind of rude.
Yeah. And I always try not to say it, because when I do say it, that's, I'm like, I am done. That's what it means. It means I'm done with this conversation. Right.
When you got to de-escalate and just say, I can't talk about this anymore. The other thing is, okay, so why? Okay, you should. The should one is really tricky, because it means, like, oh, you should go to the gym. You know, you should pick up your socks. You should come home earlier. Like, first of all, if they're not asking for advice and you're giving them advice, that is going to make them feel like you're not appreciating them, that you're criticizing them right away. Just think about how strong that is. You should go to the gym. You should.
That's like the quote unquote nagging.
It's kind of a nagging thing. So instead, you can be like, what would be a good thing here? So instead of saying,
I think it would be fun if we started being more active together.
Let's say more active together. Right. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm worried. I think we should take a class together. We should take a class at the gym together. We should. Instead of putting it upon your partner. Like, people say to me, all the things they say. Oh, God. People say, okay, call us with any of your things that you shouldn't say anymore, or we'll tell you how not to say it. 888-947-8277. This is just impersonalized. You should really be doing video, Emily. I know, we're doing video. That's not even in a relationship, but in life. Or you should. Oh, here's the thing, because I'm sometimes not organized. You know what you should do, Emily? You should make a list. Why don't you make a list and write everything down? And then we can talk. And I'm like, you think I have never. My lists have lists. That doesn't work for me.
A lot of the times when people say you should, it's usually things that most of us know already. I should do this. However, I'm not doing it. Right. Leave me alone. I didn't ask you.
You're so right that the should, whatever is following you should, is something that we already know. I'm sure we've heard it 1,000 times. And we're probably mad at ourselves for not doing it already, or whatever it is. And it's not helpful. And it sounds like, yeah, it's menacing and critical, but you're so right. That is a good point. We're saying you should, you probably already thought about it. And we're not, and I could see this being in a relationship where often men want to fix their partners when they hear things. They're like, well, let's problem solve. And that's a lot of what I could hear, like, you should really go in and tell your boss you need that raise or whatever. If someone comes home, you know, like, just the things that sometimes the fixer, I'm a fixer too, though. I do that to in relationships. Like, I'll have friends who come over. Because this goes in all relationships, mm-hmm. to be honest. I'm telling you, I see this in personal life, professional life, everywhere. But I find that I'm such a caretaker with my friends that I had one call me the other day with something. I'm like, and I went into problem solving mode. I'm like, oh, you need me to listen. Like, you're not asking for advice sometimes. So you have to know the difference. So just to give out you shoulds all willy-nilly.
If you are a fixer and you're trying to not be this you shoulder person, how's a way that you can like respond to someone that's coming to you?
I think you could say, I think it's really, if someone's coming to you, because right, sometimes we do want advice. You could say, if you know that maybe they haven't thought about it, you'd be like, well, no, this is just as bad. Have you ever thought about? Have you ever thought about making a list? That would still piss me off because I would know that they're saying it that way. I think how you would do it is if you're a fixer, keep asking questions. And here's the other thing. If the best way to solve it, if you're a fixer, is to say, how do you need me to support you right now?
Oh, I like that.
I've got some ideas. Do you just want me to listen? I have some ideas. You probably thought of them. Let me know what you've tried. So what do you think would work? Okay. See, here's the thing. When people are upset, complaining, going through something, if you ask them, we all have the answers, you guys. I got to be honest with you. We pretty much have a lot of the answers we need. And I think if you help your partner get to the, you know, ask them, well, what do you think you would do? Or what? Keep asking them. Keep asking questions until they say, no, what do you think? If they say, what do you think? Mm. I don't think you should still say you should go to the gym or you should whatever. But, you know, I think it's more like, well, I hear what you're saying. And this is why I'm thinking this would be helpful for you. So, yeah.
What the you should, because I feel like we've had callers call in and about their partners kind of letting themselves go. Like, if there's a habit that your partner's doing or a habit you'd like them to pick up instead of you should, like, what are some ways that you can kind of get them to do those things?
To do those things? I mean, I think it's much like, listen, people are only going to do things if they, no one's going to change unless they want to change. So if you ever are a fixer and you're in a relationship, you think, well, once we get married or once we move in together, or once we have sex, everything's going to be different. That is not true. People do not change their own behaviors unless it comes to them on their own in a way that makes sense to them. So yes, they might have thought of going to the gym a million times, but if you say things like, you know, I think, what have you tried? They could say they're complaining about their weight or something. Mm-hmm. What have you tried in the past? Or you give them things, what have you tried in the past that's worked for you? Or if people say they don't, you give them other options. I'm trying to think of what you're, before the gym, like you'd say like, we're talking about the weight thing. This is a tough one. I think it's more like we take a class together. We are a team. We're a team here. Don't send them annoying articles about people going to the gym. And my mom, like, people do things like that. Like, go to the gym and here's how it works, or use the steps, you know, like eat better. Let's eat better as one. Okay. We should probably eat better. Let's cook. We can make some meals together. You know, offer things that have worked for you. True. Like, that could be a little like, I always go to the gym. But I think that in all these conversation things, these things, I guess the point is they get you into attack mode. The other one is, why did you?
Oh.
If you say, why did you? It's kind of like a why question is criticism, like, in disguise. You're saying, like they're never positive. Why did you forget my birthday? Why did you show up late? Why did you leave your socks on the floor? Like, you're not, if this is part of your regular mm-hmm. language, you probably are fighting with your partner and you're probably not making any leeway. You're probably not moving past whatever issues you have.
And then when you ask why, they're going to give you an excuse and then you're going to get mad at the excuse most of the time.
Right, because you already have your point. You already have the thing that you want to say, and they're not going to be like, why'd you leave your the dishes out again. Why'd you leave the dishes out?
Oh, that's oh my God, it's my pet peeve is dishes.
They're not going to go, what if they said, what could you say that would get you out of that? But first of all, you'd be annoyed and then you'd say, oh, I was really in a rush. Well, that's not going to go, oh, okay, no problem. Like, even if I was like, I couldn't do the dishes because mm-hmm. I was in a rush, or I fell asleep, I'm going to do them in the morning. Would that, if the person who said, why did you? What would you say, Jamie, your roommates? You'd be like, there's nothing they could say that would not make you, you're pissed. When you get to the point where you're saying, why'd you do this?
I already know why. They're lazy.
Yeah, because you're lazy. There's nothing they could say. Right.
I get lazy too. We all get lazy.
We all get lazy.
I don't know. I mean, okay, because my other thing that I've run into with certain things as far as like pet peeves for things like that, like why people don't do stuff, it's because it's something for me that triggers me. So me, I like to have the dishes put away and clean. But that's not how everyone feels. So then I get in these weird modes where I feel like I have now taken on the dishes.
Oh, because like, resentfully so, though. Because you don't think it's going to happen. You yeah. take it on and you just do them for everybody?
Yeah, I just do. Well, if they're there, I'll do them. I mean, they've been getting better. Don't get me wrong. They've actually been getting better over time. But
in case they're listening, are you trying to backpedal with the roommates?
Yeah, they're not listening. But okay. If they were, I mean, it's true, though. They are getting better. But like when people have these things of, like like I said, like habits you want them to get into, like how could you get your partner to start taking the trash out more when you're always doing it?
Well, like, here's the best way. Okay, so when they do take the trash out, you're like, oh, can I just tell you that felt so good that you just took it out? I love, like, you could be like, that, it helped, that is helps me so much. I love that you did that. Thank you. You appreciate them. You don't, because I think sometimes people do things and they just be like, oh, finally. And they don't want to appreciate because they think that if you compliment someone, well, people who think compliments are weaknesses, that it's sort of like, they're like, I'm still going to make them fight. I'm still mad. Finally, they check it out. But to like kind of recognize how much it helped them and to say thank you and to have gratitude around something that efforts that people are making, when you focus on the positive, not the negative, that's how you help. 888-947-8277. Okay, some other things. Calm down. Oh. If you say calm down, listen, if you get to the point of saying calm down, that is not going to de-escalate the situation at all. It directly invalidates whatever you need to calm down about. They think you need to calm down about it. If you're at that point where someone is like, ah, so calm down, that you're never going to go, okay, you're right.
Phew. It's true, but what do you say to someone when they're like freaking out and you're like, I just do need you to relax for a second. Like how do you just look like not say anything? Or what
I
do you
think
do?
You could try to, that's a really good point. Instead of calm, well, you don't want to yell calm down. You just kind of like, you just kind of look at him. You're like, I hear you. Take some deep breaths. Deep breaths is a really good thing. You just are like, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it looks really upsetting. I know. But calm down is not going to do it. So it's more like tuning in on like, and maybe you just let him freak out for a second. I mean, obviously, if they're throwing shit across the room, you got to like hold them and be like, don't, you know. But if you're just yelling, like saying calm down, automatically makes us feel bad because we think, oh God, I'm throwing a tantrum. And it's completely disregarding everything that we're trying to do. If I'm freaking out and I'm having a tantrum, I am not going to calm down. Like if I get to that point, it's not going to happen. So that won't work. It's invalidating what's happening. Like if I could calm down, I would, but I'm actually freaking out because I'm trying to make a goddamn point. You shut up. I don't get mad. I'm getting mad like someone just said, calm down to me. That's how mad it makes me. All these things.
This is the one thing is I hate hearing it, but sometimes in the moment, it's just like a reflex to say it.
No, I know. But if it's, it depends how you say it too, like, calm down. I feel like, oh, maybe you could, I don't even think I'd like calm down.
No, it's not. Breathe. It doesn't matter because I've tried to tell
calm down.
Other
you
people.
You did it to me. I, think
I did it once and
me.
I was like, just calm down. It's okay. And you were like, no, it's not okay. Did and I was like, okay, go do the video in the corner then.
Did you say calm? Yeah. I freaked out and calmed down. I don't remember this, but I'm
and
sure.
And I was like, it was just a reflex because I was like, oh, breathe.
That's funny. I did. I was like, don't tell me.
And then, but it's okay. Like, obviously, you know.
No, dude. Tracy and I can fight.
Did you just call me Tracy?
Oh, because you know why?
You just called me Tracy.
Yeah, I just called you Tracy because in front of me, it says Tracy Dunblazer is a name. And I was about to read this quote.
That's an awesome name, by the way.
Jamie, I don't know who Tracy is. She's this woman.
No, I am Tracy. It is now
Jamie,
Emily and Tracy.
I can't believe that you probably would tell me to come
maybe
down.
Maybe we should just break up.
Maybe we should just break up. Threatening to, maybe just break up, Jamie.
No.
Don't
break up with me.
No, we never will break up. Threatening divorce or a breakup is poison unless you mean it. But we had a funny discussion about this because, first of all, if you want to break, you should only say we should break up if you really want to break up. But I realize that we all have different attachment styles. And so when we were practicing here, like before, they're like, wow. So if someone said to me, maybe we should break up, I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right. Like in my less mature days, I would think because I'm anxious attachment avoidant, I'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, you're right. I don't want to get hurt or abandoned. I'd be like, yeah, you're right. Let's go. Like, you're right. We should break up, perhaps. And then Michelle said her boyfriend used to say, like, maybe we should just break up.
Yeah, he would threaten me with that and throw that in my face all the time, and I would drop to the floor and be like, no, don't leave me. And I would do anything for him in order for him to not break up with me. Right. But it was so unhealthy.
Very unhealthy. And then, Jane, if someone said to you, we should just break up.
In the past, when that's happened, like, you know, we should just break up. And I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'll be sad, and it depends on the situation. Like, I would be sad and crying and be like, that makes no sense. It's not happening. We're not breaking up. I would just say no. I would reject it.
You'd reject it flat out.
I reject the breakup.
Three women, three very different responses to breaking up. I'm just thinking that we're all so different in this world, but I think that never works. And then, sorry, but, you guys, remember, anything after but is bullshit. If you're like, oh my God, this was so fun, but I wish that you would have been on time, or sorry, but it's just damaging, because it's essentially saying, like, yeah, like, I hurt you, but I was totally justified in everything I'm doing. So everything, like, I hurt you, but you deserve it. That's all we're hearing. So don't even say I'm sorry. Don't waste your I sorry's on with the buts canceling it out.
Yeah, if you're not actually sorry, what's something you can just, can you just be like, I hear you, but I don't know how to say it without but.
I know. See, just say I'm sorry when you mean it. Don't just throw sorry out there. But I think it's a very mixed message. Be like, sorry, but anything. It's like,
well, because it's obviously like you're not
blaming
actually
your partner.
Sorry.
You're not really sorry. But if you're really sorry, sorry is a beautiful thing to say. And then just stop talking. I'm really sorry. I hurt your feelings. I can tell that I did. And I never want to make you feel bad. End of story.
Do you think it's worth it that even if you really don't think you did something wrong, to sometimes just to give in and just do it for the better?
Well, how do you say did something wrong?
Or just kind of, because sometimes it's like that notion of not always needing to be right.
Well, that is important. I think you choose your battles in a relationship. And if you did something that upset your partner's feelings, even if it wasn't intentional, but their feelings were hurt, say, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Even if it makes no sense to you sometimes, but they are hurt. Why is it so hard to say, I'm sorry? Like, you didn't mean it. It wasn't intentional, but you did. You hurt up their feelings. Just say it. Or don't say it if you don't mean it. It's true.
Yeah. It was so funny earlier because we were reading these and we were just like, everything. We all thought of things like, was just so triggered.
I know. Sorry, but whatever. Don't ever text me.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
I did that once. Okay, let me story time. Because I didn't know. Because me and my mom say okie dokie to each other. Because we're always like, okie dokie, artichokey. That was just like how we were.
Right,
like, when
but artichokey, I wouldn't care.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I'm not going to throw in the artichokes all the time with my boss. So, but I texted her okie dokie and she called me. She's like, are you okay? Like, literally, you called me and you're like, are you okay? Because you texted me okie dokie and like that means that you're not okay. I'm like, No, I'm fine. I thought that was okay. I just like feel like you're always getting like, I needed to jazz up my text replies to you because I didn't want to always be like, sounds good. Okay. Like, I thought that I needed to be more creative. Like, in my mind, my stupid mind, I had to be more creative. So I came up with okie dokie and you thought it was like the worst.
It's a trigger. It says like, because I hear like okie dokie or like okie, like there's like, it's to me. Okie dokie reads as, I'm super annoyed with you, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okie dokie. If you say so, boss. Okie dokie. And I got to tell you that a lot of times I believe that okie dokie is a little negative. People say it. Not you and your mom and the artichokey. But, but like okie dokie, and we know who someone else did it.
I have a question. How did you spell it? Was it the spelling that triggered
nope,
you?
Nope, just the okie-i-e. How else do you spell it?
Okie-e-y. Okie dokie. Either way, I don't know. Sometimes I think the IE is cuter.
Michelle's like, oh, I'm her
sister. I'm like, I think I've said that
no,
to you
haven't.
Before.
But Michelle, okay, here's the thing about Michelle. Michelle's the only person that I would certainly know that if she's at okie dokie, she met it with love, flowers, rainbows, yes. And unicorns.
Well, yes. Wait,
sorry.
Why?
Come on.
I don't know. It's just Michelle. But now she knows never to do
I'm never
going to
do it. I'm never.
That's just random, but we never know it's going to trigger. I forgot that I called you and said that. Well, now you know.
And I don't think I've never said it since. I think I may have said it once, but then I like corrected it. I'm like, that's not what I meant. Like, yes.
Whatever.
Yes. Okay. But I know. You got to learn people. I got it.
You do got to learn people. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break and we come back on to your calls.
Okay, let's talk to Sarah. She's 32 in Louisiana, and she is in a female-female relationship, and they got approached to swing. Her partner's interested, but she's not really feeling it.
Okay, hey, Sarah. Tell me what's going on.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I'm actually, as we were waiting, as I was waiting, I found out that my girlfriend has been sending selfies to people, so I'm a little caught off guard here.
Oh, wow.
However, I'm calling because, yes, my girlfriend and I have been in a relationship for about 13 years.
Okay.
And we, anytime we do introduce ourselves to other people, generally heterosexual couples, they feel free to ask us if we would be interested in swinging. However, we've noticed that they don't ever ask any other heterosexual that. So,
right.
I thought it was our. I thought it was just a problem of how we should address other people about it. However, just now that I've stumbled across these selfies that she's been actually engaging, I guess I have a different problem now.
What do you mean she's been engaging in exchanging selfies or nude? Like.
Yeah, I just saw where she has actually been a part of some type of group, and so they've been exchanging pictures. So,
did she tell you about it, or you just found it on her phone, or something?
No.
Okay.
No, I was holding, and she was actually coming through the house. She's not in here right now, so we've got a different problem. I was thinking we needed to address the problem of how people feel free to come up and ask us if we would like to swing.
Right.
However, I'm kind of thinking maybe she is interested in the swinging part, especially since she's joined this group.
Well, okay. So that's not something you're not interested in swinging. Now, here's the thing, because you're not, are you with men too? Sometimes? Are you bisexual?
I was with men at one time.
Okay.
And during the time that I was with men, I never had anybody ever, any other couples ever ask
two women
and my...
Right.
Yeah, but as soon as there's two women involved, however, my girlfriend is generally what everybody calls the butch one, so I'm surprised she's actually engaging with conversation with other gentlemen.
Well, I don't know what that's about. Well, do you want to get her on the phone? I mean, as long as we're here, if she went in the other room. I mean, Okay, fine. Don't do it live. But that's... Well, it sounds like you guys have some things. You've been together 13 years. It sounds like maybe she's craving some change right now with your sex life. Like, let's be honest. It happens in every relationship. So I think maybe she's acting out in some way, and that really you guys could need to focus on what you guys can do together to enhance your sex life right now. Trying new things. You know,
we like doing things in public, and going to, bookstores and things like that, and getting toys. There's no shame in that.
Right.
We're very open about it. However, the swinging thing was a little bit different because she tends to be jealous.
You got to hang up with me and just say, let's talk about this. Have her walk through this scenario, because maybe she wants to watch you with another woman, and she found some guy's wife who wants to be with you, and she thinks that'll be hot. Like, you can't assume anything right now. I think you know her pretty well, and if this doesn't seem like her normal behavior, it sounds like you got to hang up with me, because you just got this, and have a really honest, try to take a few deep breaths, because it sounds like you might be angry right now, but it might not be what you think, and find out what it is that she's seeking, why she would like it. Like, ask her and listen without judgment. Like, tell me more.
She's always told me that she hated penis.
I'd be surprised if she woke up and liked penis one day too. So that's why you got to go find out. And I can't wait to hear what happens, but try to do it without assuming and jumping on her, but to listen. Calm.
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to get it through. I mean, I don't know what to tell you until we find out more information, but yeah.
No, I know. So, I've never called before, so this was interesting, but thank you.
Well, there's a sign. There's a reason why. Call back after. Yeah. We'll be here. We're here tomorrow. Sarah, I'm invested now. Bring me into it. Let me help you guys if there's a problem. Thanks for calling, Sarah.
Yeah, no.
Okay, let's talk to Dave in Tennessee. He says he has a small penis and wants advice on extenders he could use.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Emily. Thanks for having me on the show. Love the show.
Thanks.
So this is the deal. I was born with a birth defect, and after multiple surgeries to correct, I was left with a, when fully erect, a 3-inch penis.
Okay.
Now, fortunately, I'm married and have been married for 20 years with 2 kids, and we have a very good sex life. But one, you know, as growing up and as you would expect, I personally have always longed to have something larger than what I have.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife, who had been with men before we got married, she has consistently said that she actually prefers me over the larger men that she had been with in the past.
Great.
And we have a very good sex life. I always have the, I guess, the fantasy or the urge to actually want to see her with a larger penis during lovemaking. So she does let me use a dildo on her,
okay.
a 6-inch dildo, which is a really big turn on for me. But I've always wanted to do it myself, and
yeah.
I've tried probably a half a dozen silicone type extenders, but she basically said in each of them they don't do anything for her. They don't have they're too flimsy or too squishy or something to that effect.
Okay.
So I've always wondered if there's something that you know of that I could put on that has a little bit more stability or, you know, reacts better to, that would be more of a natural feel, I guess, for her.
Right. Well, you know, yeah. Okay, so the thing is, there are, I don't know which ones you've tried. Have you tried the OptiMale PPA extender?
Have not.
It says it's gotten really good reviews. It's soft, stretchy, extended extender designed to add girth and length when worn over a penis, enhanced with a textured interior, provides additional stimulation to the wearer. So it's textured on the inside, which feels good for you. So mm-hmm. It's gotten good reviews. It's by Doc Johnson. We love them. They make great products. We could put that in the show notes for you. But honestly, it's funny. I don't know of any other ones that I haven't heard a lot about them, to be honest. A lot of people have used them with, you know, great success. But I'm wondering if you could also, yeah, I guess you want to be wearing it. I'm trying to think if you could. Do you ever use a strap-on? Have you ever used a strap-on with a dildo?
I have not. I've also wondered if there was one of those that you could insert in just to have it in the right position, of course.
Well, yeah, you know, I bet you you could fit this in. Oh, this is such a good idea. I think perhaps you could get a harness, strap-on harness that, you know, goes around your waist, and then maybe put the extender, like put your penis in that, in the extender, right? And then it'll probably keep it in place, and you'll be able to be more directed with it. That's a good idea. Yeah. Go to my site, sexalmy.com, click on the store, and then you'll see the OptiMail. We can also put it in the show notes. And then check out the harnesses. I think that's your next plan.
Excellent. Okay. I'll do that.
Let me know how it goes. Yeah.
Just to give a little shout out from what my wife says is it's not what you got, but how you use it. So.
Exactly. Well, I'm so glad to hear. Yeah, let me just say that. I didn't even comment on that. I love that you guys are having amazing sex. Like they say, it's not the size of the ship, it's the motion of the ocean. And it is true how you use it. It sounds like I opened up the show. I'm not sure if you heard it. I was like, yeah, you guys, we're not craving penises all the time, you know? That's about a lot of other things.
That's true.
Penises are important.
And we do a lot of other things to keep it
Well, it sounds like you do, and I love that. So let me know how this works. I'm glad you called with this.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much
for
calling.
Emily.
I appreciate it. All right, we could take a call. We could help the people.
Let's help the people.
All right.
Let's talk to Chad. He's 39 in New York, and he wants to know how to tell someone that they smell down there.
All right. Hey, Chad. Tricky one, huh? Tell me what's going on.
Gosh, hello, Emily. I really love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Gosh, so I was strictly dickly for a long time, and then I dated a trans man recently, And the taste of him, of course, was different than a man. But it was a little funky down there.
Okay.
Once. It was a committed relationship. Unfortunately, we have broken up since then. But I do wish to be in relationships with other men and trans men in the future. And I had the scenario where I think there was some fecal matter possibly mixed in. I mean, it was more than just musk.
Okay.
It was wet and...
Yeah, I mean, you got to just... I mean, maybe it's just like you take a shower beforehand. You're like, let's take a shower. Let's clean up. Let's take a shower together. That'd be really hot. You know, I think that that's what you do if it wasn't as clean with this particular person. But also, there are like natural... The thing is, okay, so you haven't been with that many vulva-having people, it sounds like, vagina-having members of society. So they are a little bit different. Like, they're not, you know, I think whatever people think. There's a certain notion to I think vaginas get a bad rap, that they have really bad odors. And the truth is, the vagina is self-cleaning. You don't need a douche. It's pretty if you clean yourself up. And I know that before I have sex with someone, I always wipe down and make sure that I'm, you know, clean and hygienic and all that stuff. Some people don't. So it might be a case of letting them know that, like, hey, let's take a shower, or could we clean up? But the other thing is, because I thought when I just saw your call, I didn't know, but there are some women who could get something like called like bacterial vaginosis, which has a odor, and they might not know it because we're not always smelling ourselves. And so there's times where most vaginal, I can't tell, Chad, either you just got to get used to it. I mean, to what it is, if you're just going to delve into this whole world. Or sometimes there are like extreme odors where you just have to say, you know what, I'm into you, but I got to tell you, there's something down there that doesn't quite seem right. And I want to make sure you don't have an infection.
Okay. No. I feel that this individual was fairly normal, and the rest of the sex was fine. And it was really that one time. And he did ask me how he tasted down there, and I lied to him.
Okay. I know.
Here's what you should do.
I got an idea. I keep baby wipes by my bed. And if I'm with someone, I just like wipe them down. I wipe myself down. You could have some warm towels and just do it as like a, you know, like they bring you in the restaurant, like hand wipes. Why shouldn't we all wipe off during sex? We should all wipe out before sex. We should wash our hands. We forget to do that, but we are carrying bacteria. Like, if we get bacteria in our body parts in different orifices, that's how we get infections. So if you just say, I'm really into cleanliness, like, and you have some nice towels and you wipe them down, problem solved.
You are amazing.
Chad, you're amazing. There you go. Go out and get them. Get some baby wipes and have a good time. Thanks for calling. And they also have wipes, Deodoc, and there's some like really beautiful body wipes that you can keep by the bed, and Mega Babe. Mm-hmm. Mega Babe wipes are cool. Like, you can buy some probably on our site as well, mm-hmm. in our store. Get some sex wipes. I always have sex wipes by my bed. Masturbation, for myself. You always need a wipe when you're eating in bed. I often do that. I get really hungry sometimes. I go to bed and then I'm hungry, and then
I'm constantly I got this thing for my bed where it's like the table. It's like a mini table almost, and so it comes out so I can kind of like, you know how like if someone loved me enough to bring me breakfast in bed, it'd be like that, but with a little table.
Oh, yeah.
So I eat by myself in my bed like that.
That's so cute. Under your six comforters?
Yeah, except on top of them.
On top of the six comforters. That's what I meant. Sorry, she only goes under two of them. We still don't understand it.
It's my weird thing. Let me have my weird thing.
You can have so many weird things. That's what makes the world go round. We all have weird things, which makes us not weird. The only weird thing, here's the weirdest thing. If you called me and you said, I have nothing weird,
and be like,
I don't believe you. Yeah, we all got our things. Embrace them. Love them. Love all your parts. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. Let me know. Did you? I love to hear from you. I love when you review the show. That's awesome. Or if you just subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast, that makes everyone's lives so much easier. But really, I just want to say thank you. And I'm grateful for all of you for listening to this podcast and supporting it and sharing your thoughts and telling your friends about it. It just means a lot. And we We love hearing from you. So thanks to you guys, and thanks to Ken, my great team, Ken, Michelle, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.